Well, aren't you glad for the love of God tonight? I tell you what, and aren't you glad God's love is unconditional? You know, I used to think the more I do for God, the more I love God, the more He's going to love me. That's not the way it is. God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. God loves you, and He will love you for all eternity. And I tell you, this is what sets apart Christianity from any other religion that there is. Because they're working to please God to get to heaven. Hallelujah, it's already been done. Jesus has already paved the way. And if you're a child of God tonight, say amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you're charismatic or not, but if you're a child of God, say hallelujah tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's the first time some of you have said hallelujah in your whole life. It's shocking, isn't it? Well, some of you have been asking about my family, and my wife has a book. But I thought, you know what? It's going to be a challenge to show the book to everybody one by one. And so I asked Pastor Herdman if I could show just a few pictures tonight. And so our men, I think the men, a man, someone. Well, while they're finding the pictures, they're not back there. I'm sorry, I thought they were back there too. Somebody lied to me. This is Joe and Sarah, and Sarah was born a month before we came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and they have two children, and Lily just turned 10, and Owen is 7, and Pastor Joe preached for me this morning, and so I've got work to do when I get back to try to straighten things out. So, here is Hannah and Caleb, and our newest 4-month-old Aspen. And we are having a ball. It's wonderful. Here's another picture of Lily. She's just like her mom. Here's Owen, just like his dad. Pray for him. And here's the young one again. Here's Aspen. And see, for years, our time with grandkids was going down to Florida for a week and coming home. And now we get to camp there, and it's just exciting. Here are the three kids together, members of the Cousin Club. And there it is. This is Winkler Road Baptist Church. This is looking at the auditorium. And we've been now, we moved in July of 2019. Just for my curiosity, how many of you are new to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church since July of 2019? How many of you are new? Wonderful. Fresh meat. I like that. That's great. Good. And so right now is the peak of our season. All the snowbirds are in. And there's a wonderful thing, except in about a week or two, they'll all start leaving. And but if God is calling you to be a snowbird, come to Florida in January, February, March, and April, 70 degrees every day, sunny, it's beautiful. Just come on down, and we'd love to have you. And I don't know if there's something else or not. Is that it? I don't know if things happening, so that's happening. So I guess that's it. Good. Thank you, men. Appreciate that. Exodus chapter 3 tonight. And I do thank Pastor Herdman. Obviously, he doesn't know me from Adam. And inviting us to come back and allowing us to preach. And Brother Dan, thank you for allowing me to lead the choir this morning. That was a real treat for me and a real joy. And Brother Daniel for practicing ahead of time with the choir. And he obviously did a good job because they sang well. And that was just a great time together. And appreciate the basket that the church gave us there at the motel, and just the outpouring of love. And it's just so good to see y'all. I still have it, y'all. And they're trying to change me in Florida, but they haven't yet. It's just a joy to be here and to take some time and look at the Word of God with you tonight. Let's pray. Lord, it's just wonderful to see saints of God who have been faithful for years and years and years, and they're just still going on. And we thank you for Pastor Herdman and how you're using he and the staff to build the church and to see all the new folks coming in and the work of God being done in this place. And now, Lord, just settle our hearts as we look at your word tonight. And the Lord, may you speak through me. God, you have impacted my life with this message, and my desire is that this message would impact every life. Those who are here in person, those who are watching via the live stream, God bless, we pray, in Jesus' name, Amen. From time to time, I hear a statement that someone makes or I read it, and I just think, man, that is neat. So I write it down, and I've got several. In August of 2017, I heard a statement that really moved me. If you were in the Victory Bible class, you heard this several times. But I heard a man say, God treated Christ as if he had lived my life so he could treat me as if I had lived his. Boy, that grabbed me. That was wonderful. It spoke to my heart. Recently, I read A.W. Tozer said, and this is neat, the keepers of the tree of life step aside when they see a son of grace approaching. Now, Tozer's deep, so you're going to have to let that one kind of settle in for a little bit. In March, I read, God's people need to be less concerned with global warming and be more concerned with global burning. And I thought, now there is a great statement. On December the 26th this last year, in the evening service, I heard a phrase that has just gripped my soul. It has changed me. I heard that phrase being as my brother Steve was preaching at Winkler Road Baptist Church. Many of you know Steve. And there was a phrase in that message that just grabbed my heart. And as he preached, he said, I heard this idea preached by our brother-in-law, Mike Bourbon, who's a missionary in New Guinea. Now, I don't know where he got it, but I tell you what, folks, it has grabbed my heart and my soul, and I just want to preach to you tonight, and you're going to hear this phrase a lot. The ministry of deliverance. The ministry of deliverance. And I pray that God will get a hold of your heart tonight as he has mine, because it has changed the way I view people. And it has changed the way I respond and react to people in my everyday life. So tonight, let me preach to you on the ministry of deliverance. Have you got the title yet? All right, good. I hope so, or we're in deep trouble. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Here it is. And I am come down to, what are the next two words? Deliver them. I am come down to deliver them, to snatch away, to escape, to pluck, to recover, to rescue, to save, to take out. That's what the word means. He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt, notice, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites. Can I stop just a second? I walked in tonight and Brother Bob and Preacher Leslie were sitting out here with their canes, and I said, hey, you guys look great. Do you have to have a cane? Bob said, we're called the Canaanites. sharp as a marble, that boy, I tell you. So under the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest, notice, bring forth, to break out, to lead out, to pluck out my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Three things tonight will be done. Number one, the need for the ministry of deliverance. the need for the ministry of deliverance. And of course, for Israel, it's a very obvious thing they have. As God provided for them during the famine, and Jacob brought down his sons and family down into Egypt, and things were great for a while as Joseph stepped up and provided for the people, and as long as Joseph was around, things were great. But there came a time, of course, when he died, and the Bible says there arose a time when the Pharaoh didn't know Joseph anymore, and boy, things changed. And suddenly, they found themselves slaves in Egypt, great oppression, great trouble. They had no power to deliver themselves. They're in bondage. They're probably 2 to 3 million people, and they are being held in the iron fist of Pharaoh in Egypt. They had no military training. Think about this. They'd been slaves for 400 years. No one could lead them out. And they were forced into slave labor. Their life was miserable. You can imagine. And in that misery, they cried out to God for deliverance. And God's going to send a man to help them. But these folks needed to be delivered. But I want you to think for a moment about everybody you meet in the street here in Great Tennessee. Have you ever thought about the fact that every one of them is bound by sin? Every one of them is a slave to sin. They're born sinners. They're bound by sin. In John 8:34, Jesus said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And by the way, has there ever been a time when we see that more than we do today? Sin is abounding. Oh, by the way, this is not the message, but where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. But these folks in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, they're called the servants of sin. Solomon describes them in Proverbs 5:22. He says, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." They're under the curse of sin. And by the way, you may be here tonight. I know this is Sunday night. But you may be here tonight, and you may be bound by sin. You may have made a profession of faith. You may be sitting here and know you're not a child of God. Folks, we need to see every person without Christ as bound by sin, slaves to sin, under the curse of sin. They are dead spiritually, they're going to die physically, and they're going to live eternally in a place called hell. Do you see people that way? Micah, it is such a pleasure to see you, buddy. Can I talk to Micah for just a second? How you doing? I'm excited to see you, brother. Amen. The need for the ministry of deliverance. So that's the first point. How you doing? You got it? All right, number two. The nature of the ministry of deliverance. And I want you to see these Egyptians, or these Israelites in Egypt, and folks, they were totally helpless. There was no way out. They had no power to free themselves. Pharaoh, one of the strongest nations at that time in Egypt, these folks couldn't help themselves. Huge nation, strong militarily. We know they had at least 600 chosen chariots. By the way, how many did the Israelites have? How many chariots? None that we know have. They had a couple wagons maybe, I don't know. So here's this mighty nation, the Jews, a weak nation, no powerful leader, no great army, no weapons or chariots. There's just no way out. And God calls a man to deliver them. It's an amazing man. He'd been prepared by God for 80 years for this job. Oh, by the way, do you remember when he tried to do it on his own? Didn't work out so well. God had to take him 40 years in the backside of the desert and straighten him out. But God had called this man, and he comes to Moses now in verse 8, and he says, "I'm going to send you down to Egypt to deliver my people." Here is the nature of deliverance. God is going to do this. The people are in bondage. Moses knew that. He knew all about it. It's time to go down to the promised land, and God's going to use this man. He said, all right, Moses, it's time. It's time. And I tell you, folks, for all mankind, without Christ, bound in sin. My wife and I visited a couple, oh, it's been several months ago now, and she works for a company that she takes phone calls and lines people up to get into this rehab center. And so she hears all kinds of stories. She didn't relay any to us, but just terrible stories of addiction and bondage. And so they try to line these people up to come into this rehab place for 3 weeks. Take a guess how much it cost. $40,000. My question as a preacher was, well, does it work? Now, she worked for these people. Now, all she does is sign them up. She said, I've had people come back 8 to 10 to 12 times. $40,000. What's the problem? The problem is they're bound by sin, and they cannot escape. And I don't care what kind of program you go to or whatever the government. Now, look, if you're thinking the government's going to free you from your bondage, good luck with that one, okay? It's not going to happen. Religion isn't going to do it. Money sure isn't going to do it. Here's people who have spent $400,000 to be delivered, and they're still bound by sin. What a parallel to the Israelites in Egypt. Totally bound. No way out. Now, God sent Moses to deliver the Israelites. Who did he send to deliver those who are bound by sin? Well, it was prophesied in Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand, will keep thee and give thee a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles. Listen, to open blind eyes, here it is, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God said, I'm going to send somebody who's going to be able to deliver people from the bondage of sin. And in Isaiah 61:1, another prophecy, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Listen, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Has that been fulfilled? Sure. Because the Lord, in Luke chapter 4:18, quoted that passage and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus Christ is now speaking. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Why did Jesus come? Same reason Moses went down to Egypt. To deliver people who are bound by sin. That's why he came. That's why he came. Thank you, Brother Dan, for all the wonderful songs about Jesus tonight. Because he is it. I'm preaching through the Gospel of John at Winkler Road and just preached on that great passage in chapter 3. He must increase, but I must decrease. And oh, how God spoke to my heart in the ministry. I got to decrease. It's not about Gary Seaman. It's not about Pastor Herdman. It's about Christ. It's all about Christ. And God sent him to deliver a lost and a bound world. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that's Jesus Christ, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Listen, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I got great news for you. You say, Pastor, I'm at a, I don't know what you should call me, Brother Gary, ugly, I don't know, whatever. Whatever makes you happy. I guess you probably called me Brother Gary, but when I preach, it's Pastor. So anyway, and this thing is going to get me before long. You know, first they join a bowling league, and then they use this ecumenical thing here. But anyway, I decided not to say that, but sorry about that anyway. There goes the love offering. But aren't you glad, no matter who you meet, no matter what sin they're bound by, that Jesus Christ is able to deliver them from that sin? I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a sexual bondage, or if it's a bondage to anything, to alcohol or any addiction. God, through Jesus Christ, can deliver anyone. You go out on the street today, anybody you meet, Christ can deliver them. Isn't that wonderful to know? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone. Charles Wesley said it well in his song. He said, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. And in John 8:32, he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. Free. God the Son became a man, lived a perfect life, died to pay for man's sin, to deliver us from bondage. Seemed like I met someone just recently. I can't remember who it was. And they talked about when they got saved. They said before they got, you might remember, you may have been with me, Deb, I can't remember. And they said before they got saved, they had a foul mouth. Just every other word was a cuss word. And he said, the moment I got saved, God changed it. Why is that? Because the power of the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It delivers us. It has the power to do that. And in Romans 6, he goes on, he said, sin shall no more have what? Dominion over you. No longer. Christ came to deliver. And in Romans 8:32, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Wow. Christ came to deliver, but there's a problem. People don't know about Christ. Who has the ability to tell people about Christ so they can be delivered? Now, God called Moses. Is it just Pastor Herdman? That's why we pay him. You know, that's his job. Go out there and tell people they can be free from sin. Well, that is his job. It's my job too. But not just our job. Did you realize if you have been saved for a minute that you know enough to tell people about how Christ can set them free? Oh, you know, I got to go to Bible college. I'm for Bible college. I tried it. You know, I'm for all the training. I'm for all that. But if you've been born again, you're called to be a witness. And all a witness does is say, let me tell you what happened to me. God has called us into the ministry of what? Deliverance. Deliverance. In John 15:16, he says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. As I look around this beautiful auditorium, and it is wonderful, it's a lot bigger than it used to be. I told my wife that this morning. When I got up this morning, I said, man, this auditorium's really grown. It's just I'm used to a much smaller auditorium. But God, from the galleons here in the front row and Julia Garst all the way through, if you're a child of God, God has called you to the ministry of deliverance. and especially Leroy. Leroy is a man who's been delivered. He's been delivered. And he's been working at delivering lots of other people for years. Boy, I could tell you some great stories. Have we got time? No, we don't have time. The need for the ministry of deliverance, the nature of the ministry of deliverance. Now, you would think that Moses would say, yes, this is great. I've been working, I tried it 40 years ago, I've been trying to deliver this people, and now God's calling me, let's go get them. Is that how he responded? Nope. You're back in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. And Moses said unto God, in the Seaman translation, who, me? You want me? And if we're honest, when I was talking about all of us being called to the ministry of deliverance, some of you were saying exactly the same thing. And I have in my, it's been times in my life when I've said the same thing. Because you see, Moses's his focus was in the total wrong place. Notice all the pronouns. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he goes down in all these verses. If you look in verse 13, he says, what am I going to say to them? In chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, behold, they will not believe me. Do you see his focus? Nor hearken unto my voice. Look in chapter 4 and verse 10. And he says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, what's the next word? I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. What's he saying? Here am I, Lord, send somebody else. Isn't that amazing? God prepared this guy for 80 years. And now he comes on the scene. He said, okay, buddy, it's time. It's time. And all he can say is, you talk to me? I can't do that. I can't speak. They won't believe me. Isn't it amazing that today we use exactly the same words? You want me to hand out a gospel tract? Are you serious? They may laugh at me. You want me to invite someone to church? They'll think I'm a religious fanatic. By the way, we don't mind if they think we're a religious fanatic about the volunteers. But a religious fanatic, that's a whole different matter. By the way, wasn't it sad the way they lost? I was down in Florida telling people how great the Tennessee Vols were, and then it's just so sad. And then I have to face those people every Sunday. Now Moses said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I love what God says to him, because he says, Moses, verse 12 of chapter 3, I will be with thee. There you go. There you go. He said, I'm going to be with you. He said, well, I don't know what to say. He said, they're not going to believe me. He said, that's okay. I am that I am. I am God. I'm going to be with you. And he said, hey, what's in your hand? You give me what's in your hand, I'll use it. You don't have to change. You don't have to be like somebody else. Be yourself. Let God use you. God said, look, buddy, I made your voice. I made you exactly like you are. Now, what an application. We're sitting here today, and I've done it myself. And we say, Ministry of deliverance? Are you serious? Me? I'm not a deacon. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not the pastor. Are you a child of God? Have you been saved? Then God has called you the ministry of deliverance. You say, but pastor, I can't do it. I don't know what to say. They won't believe me. I can't speak. Isn't it amazing that we're using the same excuses today that Moses used? Isn't it amazing? We haven't changed a bit, have we? And what does God say? God said, it's not about you. It's not about you. A famous preacher that I heard once upon a time said, God can hit a good lick with a crooked stick. Have you ever heard that before, Preacher Lastly? Great truth. Great truth. God can use you just the way you are. Now look, God has saved you. The love of God has reached to your heart, and He has saved you from eternal hell. He has released you from the bondage of sin. God has delivered your soul for all eternity, and now He says, I want you to be in the ministry of deliverance. The ministry of deliverance. Think about it, folks. You've got the answer. No matter who you meet, and no matter what their problem is, you have got the answer. It's right here in the book. Through Christ, they can be delivered. You say, well, I don't know the whole book. Well, no, none of us do. You say, Pastor Gary, has there been a time when you talked to somebody who didn't know how to answer? Hallelujah, often. And I said, I don't know that, but I'll find out. We are living amongst people who are bound by sin. They're going to be punished for sin for all eternity. And we have the answer. And sadly, too often we say, me? I can't do that. I don't know what to say. They won't believe me. Now, Moses finally got his act together, went down to Egypt, and God used him and his brother to deliver a nation in a miraculous way. And what I'm encouraging you and challenging you to do tonight is say, Lord, I want to get in the ministry of deliverance. You may already be there, but we can all do better. We are surrounded by people who are bound by sin. You have the answer. I have the answer. May God help us to get in the ministry of deliverance. The ministry of deliverance. There's nothing better than reaching people for Christ and seeing them delivered from sin by the Spirit of God and the blood of Christ. And I exhort you tonight, and I challenge you along with myself, will you say, Lord, here I am? Here I am. I want to be in the ministry of deliverance. You say, Pastor, I'm 80 years old. Half my congregation's over 80 years old. I preach, they haven't heard this message yet, but I'm sure they will. Well, my brother preached kind of like it. If you're still breathing, and I'm concerned about a couple of you, but most of them are pretty good, you can be in the ministry of deliverance. You can. If you'll say, Lord, here I am. Here am I. Send me. Would you do that tonight? Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for these good folks. They're good attention tonight. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would take this message and continue to change my life. Oh God, how I long to be constantly helping deliver men from sin. And I pray that you would just drive these thoughts home to our hearts. Help us to see people lost in sin, bound for hell, needing to hear of Christ. And may you open up a ministry of deliverance for every one of us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I know it's a Sunday night, but I wonder tonight if there might be one to say, Pastor, I've not been delivered yet. I need to be saved. It'd be a wonderful time to receive Christ. He can deliver you. He is able to deliver thee. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Gary, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. Most of you I know, but I wouldn't embarrass any of you for the world. And I'm wondering if tonight you say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Is there one like that tonight? You just slip up your hand. I need to be saved. Anyone like that? I'm not really preaching that tonight. Can I add a second thing, which is just kind of, I wonder if there's a believer here tonight that's saying, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I'm really struggling with some things in my life. And I need God to deliver me. Again, it's not what I preached on. I'll get to that in a minute. But if you're saying, Pastor, I just need God to really help me, to deliver me from something in my life. If you're saying that in your heart, I'd love to pray for you. Just slip up your hand. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Four or five hands. Amen. Anyone to join these, say, Pastor, I need the Lord to deliver me. I see that hand. Amen. Let me get to where the message was. I wonder tonight if God has spoken to your heart and you say, Pastor, I need to be, and I am going to be, with God's help, I'm placing myself in the ministry of deliverance. With the Lord's help, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be a faithful witness. And with God's help, I'm going to get involved in the ministry of deliverance and handing out tracts and witnessing and trying to get as many people to Christ as I can. If you're saying that in your heart tonight, would you just slip up your hand? Pastor, I want to be in the ministry of deliverance. In the ministry of deliverance. Amen. Oh God, how my heart cries out to be in the ministry of deliverance. We're living in a world that is bound by sin. Oh God, I pray for every hand that's been raised tonight. I pray first of all for those who, though I didn't preach on this, say they need to be delivered. They're professing Christians, but there's something in their life that is binding them. And God, oh, I pray that they would learn the truth and that the truth would set them free, that they might be a vessel that God can use. Oh God, would you work in these hands, in these lives, we pray. And then Lord, we thank you for the many hands that have been raised tonight of those saying they want to be in the ministry of deliverance. Oh God, open doors of utterance for us. God, help us to forget about us and to focus on Christ. And Lord, would it be a wonderful thing if this week you would allow one of these folks to lead someone to Christ, to see somebody delivered by the grace of God. Lord, bless and help us, I pray. I didn't ask you about the invitation. I'll just finish if that's all right. Let's all stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the ladies play tonight, if you raised your hand and said, Pastor Gary, I need to be delivered. Would you come and spend some time with the Lord? Or maybe you said, Pastor Gary, I want to be in the ministry of deliverance. The altar is open. You come and spend some time with the Lord. Come and cement it with God. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. As God has spoken to you tonight. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We're thankful for the good message tonight. And as they continue to play and you pray, asking the Lord to put you in that ministry, here's what I think we ought to do. And that's this. While you're praying there, ask the Lord to put you across the path of somebody this week that needs to be delivered. You say, I don't know who I'd witness to if I was. I hardly see anybody except for maybe somebody comes past. That's what I'm saying. Let's ask God if He'd bring somebody to you. I know we don't always have large circles of association. We don't always get around a lot of people. But let's ask God, God, would you bring me to somebody this week that needs to be born again, needs the delivered? Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Well, it's been a joy today. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to be seated, because we've got to have one item I'd like for us to vote on. But while Brother Danny's coming, I want to give you a prayer request. I didn't even tell Danny, and Miss Lois Hauser is back in the hospital again. So I want you to be praying for her. I talked to her son-in-law just this morning or last night sometime. So she's back there. Please keep Lois in your prayers. But also, I failed to mention this morning, we're praying for Miss Angela Davis's brother, Anthony Dale. They are looking into some health issues there and a brain tumor. And so I want you, they don't know all the details yet, but I want you to be praying for Anthony Dale. That's Angela's brother, and we certainly are desirous of the Lord to do something in his life. And one other thing before Danny comes over, and that is this. Our revival is coming up. Brother Johnny Pope will preach Monday and Tuesday night. But I'd like to do something we haven't done necessarily, and that is, if you've got somebody that is unsaved, and I want you to put their first and last name, just their first name, because I'm always afraid sometimes if we've got somebody who's got the first and last name, and then that guest comes and makes an awkward position. You can either use the guest card on your bulletin that you got today. You can use that or just a piece of paper. Just put on there the first name of somebody that's unsaved. We're going to compile a list, and we'll just make that list available. That's why I want you to put first names only. We'll make that list available around that revival time so we can be praying that the Lord would work. Now, you know, and I know, revival is when people who are already saved get revived. But just in an emphasis along with the revival, we're going to pray that we can see some people saved as well. So if you do that, we'll take those names up over the next week or so. So we'll just go to prayer about that. Brother Danny, why don't you come?
The pastor and the deacons recommend that we give the following support to these ministries. $5,000 to the Slavic Baptist Mission. $5,000 to the Jewish End Time Ministries, and $2,500 to the Preach Evangelistic Ministries, Brother Paul Pritchard Jr.'s work there. This is a total of $12,500 for work in Ukraine. This will come from the Mission Fund, and I make this a motion.
What I'd like to do is just give a little bit of commentary on that. Many of us have been praying, thinking, looking, what can we do for Ukraine? These are three ministries. Brother Binnick heads up Jewish End Time Ministries. It's around Chattanooga. But his wife is from Ukraine, and they are coordinating a trip right now to get over there, I think in Poland, somewhere they're close, and they'll take goods and help out. But Brother Binnick is all about the gospel, so they will be giving the gospel to everybody that they can, those refugees that are leaving Ukraine and coming to those border nations, and they're going to be getting some supplies, yes, but more importantly, getting the gospel to them. And then Slavic Baptist Missions, Brother Cadwell, we used to support. He went on to heaven. And Brother Rick Arrowwood is the director now. And they, too, are combining and taking humanitarian aid over, but then also getting the gospel into there. And then the same story with Brother Pritchard. I just don't know quite as much about that right yet. And so they are also combining some things together to get them to Ukraine and getting the gospel to those refugees that are being forced out all around in that region. So we've got, of course, we've come from missions, and we want to do something now instead of keeping our money in. We want to do it now to get the gospel to people who desperately, desperately need it. They've been displaced, of course, and all the things that are going on you see on the news like I do. And so this is something we can do in the immediate to help out. So Brother Danny made that motion, and so we'd need a second. If somebody would second that motion, Brother Nathan Susong right there, and seconds that. And if you would agree with that and say and vote along with that for that $12,500 to go immediately to those gospel preaching endeavors and humanitarian aid, you'd say amen. 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 All opposed, same sign. All right. Well, motion carries. Brother Danny, is that it, right? Okay, and so we just, that's all we had tonight. I met with the deacons tonight about some other things, but that's what we wanted to bring to you, and we'll have Bert take care of that and get that to those needed places so they can start on those trips. So we just need a motion to dismiss the meeting. All right, Scott Martin, Marty Scroggs, those deacons, I tell you, they're providing leadership in this church. I praise the Lord for them. So, amen. All in favor, let's stand together. And I'm going to ask Brother Gary and Miss Debbie to get back out to the lobby again. And maybe if you didn't get the chance to see them this morning, you get a chance to fellowship with them tonight. And it's very good to have them. Appreciate the great message, Brother Seaman. Thank you for being here with us. And we'll pray for safety as they head back. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.